This is Jordan from Controllers and Keyboards, and the hour-long ass-beating that you're about to listen to is none other than our friends over at Casually Lit.
Thank you, Senses Fell, for that lovely, wonderful intro.
It's an awesome intro.
I can't help but get the music stuck in my head. So tonight we have an awesome show for you guys. We've got a guest that we are super pumped about, a place that we hang out all the time.
Yeah, this is where we decide most of the stuff that goes on the show.
Big decisions.
A place that my wife called before they were open, and I think she might have called Drew here. This is Drew from On Tap.
Hello.
Say hello. And we called before they were open. They're like, no, we don't open for another week. And I was like, no.
Why not? Open already.
Because I think the Facebook said y'all were open early or something, but I can't remember.
It's one of those amazing things where as ready as you are to do it, there's always going to be something that someone comes back and says, nope. And you'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
If you haven't already.
There's already been a couple... Oh, we didn't know we were supposed to do that yet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, great. I just paid rent for a month for no reason. This is fun.
It's like every day of your life right now.
Yeah. That's why every spare second that I'm not comatose, I'm up here, you know, shocking myself on the electrical ceiling fan fixture.
Well, that's why we have beer, so it makes it better.
That's true. And if you use your other hand that's not shocked and numb, you can hold the glass without dropping it.
Yeah, actually agitating the beer.
There you go. Yeah. It's the carbon.
It effervescence.
Yes.
I feel like you're trying to tell a story, David.
Shocked myself with my ceiling fan fixture this week.
David was literally electrocuted.
I did. I received 3 to 4 pretty serious shocks atop a ladder. The second my hands left the wires, I thought to myself, I shouldn't be doing this alone.
So it took 2 more times to actually figure out I shouldn't be doing this?
No, that was a reference.
The first
to,
one didn't do it.
Yeah. It's like, I want to make sure that I actually did get electrocuted.
Did that happen?
I watched two out of three ain't bad. There we go.
Oh, God.
It was a Friends reference. I only got shocked once, and then I turned off the entire breaker to the entire building and just went from the flashlight on my phone.
Shut it down.
Perfect amount of light.
Is that part true? Did you really do that?
I turned off the entire breaker to that particular part of
That's
the
fine. That's fine.
Because I wasn't even thinking straight. I had my brain just a little bit scrambled, and I was flustered.
I'm not sure how you kept going after that.
Electrofrusticated.
He had a pep in his step after that. He was ready to go.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even need coffee.
You know those moments where you do something crazy and you stop and you go, I probably could have just died.
Yep.
Story of my life. Yeah.
You have to. Noxious fumes, high pressure canisters, electricity. Let's put all of this together on a wet floor. That'd be a great mixture.
Can you now control thunder, though?
Oh.
Are you a thunderbender?
Close. I can tell when it's raining.
Nice.
Yes. And that's the Mean Girls reference of the week. Mean Girls, watch it.
David Infinity Stone.
Yes.
We got to talk about that trailer so without Michael to... So, update with you. We built a cold room.
Yes, we did a lot of stuff. If you have not already, go to newmainbrewing.com, go to our blog, and we're posting every other week with all of our progress, building our brewery, building our tap room. This past weekend, we got our TABC certification in the mail. We built our tap room, put up some... we're getting ready to paint a mural on one side of our building. We did a bunch of stuff in our conversation room, which is shaping up nicely. I prefer, once that is all done, I'm pretty sure I'll prefer that to my own living room. It's just very, very cool. So,
do you have to wear Converse in the conversation room?
Yes, but it's okay. We supply it just like a bowling alley.
All right, yeah.
Like, so welcome to New Main. What's your shoe size?
To enter this room, please remove your shoes and put these others on.
Yeah, we'll have spray disinfectant everywhere. It's going to be classy.
Love it.
Definitely
I'm kind of down with that. Kind of like that idea.
Yeah, you have to take your shoes off when you walk in.
From a ball of shino.
Yeah, nice. But in the next week or so, we will be finishing up the sprinklers on the inside. We'll connect to the water main outside so that we'll actually have fire suppression. Hopefully all of the insulation that litters literally the entire upstairs will be put back into the ceiling so we don't have to breathe that.
I kind of like it.
A nice, pleasant smell.
It's great. Yeah, it's very itchy. It's like my throat's wearing a wool sweater. It's very nice.
Oh, it's warm.
And then our flooring contractor. Yeah, definitely. Puts hair on your chest and inside your esophagus.
Exactly.
So,
and of course, those on YouTube can see New Main Brewing. And also, you can kind of see the website, but my head cuts off. But it's newmainbrewing.com.
I've decided I'm going to start teasing pretty sure January 2018.
You're always teasing me, David.
We'll be. Hey, you know it. Got to keep it lively.
January 2018 is going to be the big day.
January the big of day 2018. Of January. We have not picked a date yet, but January will be the month that people will be in our building.
That's freaking awesome.
Very nice.
Now that I've announced that, it's going to be like fucking March or something. Knock on. Just had to say it, didn't
you,
Dave?
To hold my tongue here.
As soon as you tell me what it is secretly, I'm going to leak it. Anonymously. On Reddit.
Jason leaks.
Nice.
I'm going to go on Reddit and just leak out this date.
Nice.
People won't even know what it means.
You know what I've always wanted to do is be like a WikiLeaks type yep. person, same. But I'm going to make my own logo of Leaks, the mm-hmm. vegetable.
Oh, yeah.
Like being like sneaky, like giving like a side eye, you know? Just like doing that, but it's a leek, and the people are like, what's the onion? Like, it's a leek, you uncultured swine. Now read some documents.
Do you even read a book yet?
Get some cables going on.
Do you even know how to use Google? Jesus.
It's actually pronounced go ogle.
Oh. Go ogle.
So you can look at things.
Hey, go ogle. That's what I have to say when I'm in my house. Hey, go ogle. What's the weather today?
Why are you saying it like that, Jason?
I'd be setting off people's phones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. I don't know, people that are listening to this. Hey, Google, set off your machine. What's the Alexa word? I don't know it.
Hey, Alexa.
Hey, Alexa, buy this person a car.
Alexa, directions to New Main Brewing.
Nice.
Oh, that's a good commercial.
Should probably
write that down. Now. Oh, yeah, you're not on Google yet.
Technically not.
No, it's always have to Google the runner. Right. I mean, that's how I show people. I'll just type in the runner and zoom in and be like, it's this building.
Yeah.
It's this big one. It's big.
It's that big building with the big lot.
It's the big one.
Drew, do you want to tell us about the first beer you brought us today?
Yeah, well, this is as local as we can get. We got the Legal Draft Free and Clear Blonde. And, well, it was released off-air a little, but the secret is that it's gluten-free. And for once, there's like yes. gluten-free beer that's actually good.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys have had a gluten-free beer before now.
I don't think I've ever had.
I've tried both Redbridge and Omission.
Yeah.
And I don't think I finished the six-pack of either one.
They're drain pours.
Yeah.
This is surprisingly very, very good, very crisp. One of the owners, I think Kurt, one of his family members has celiac, and so he brewed this for them.
Oh, excellent.
And we keep it on for a couple of our main people. They're tired of ciders. They want to drink some real beer, and so I brought it on pretty much all the time now.
Nice. I like it. I'm a fan. I don't think I've had very much gluten-free anything except for cider, and I would order more than one of this.
Yeah, gluten's awesome. I don't know about you guys. I love gluten.
Get that yep. gluten.
Gluten is great.
GTG.
But yeah, it made me research a little more about it. I'm like, how do you make gluten-free beer? Because obviously there's a barley or wheat or something in there to give it that malt. And how do you get that out? And apparently there's always gluten in your beer, but they put an enzyme in that eats that gluten out of it, whatever the hell gluten is. But okay. It makes it safe to eat or consume.
Right.
And this is just crisp, great, easy drinking, good fun beer.
Huh. I agree. This is nice. This, if you were a celiac or if you're just jumping on that gluten bandwagon, definitely get you a growler of this and go wherever you need to go.
Are you in keto?
It was delicious. I want another.
That's true.
Are you just healthy conscious guy?
Yes.
Drink I like my beer. Gluten to be free range.
Free range gluten. I'm over here thinking about this enzyme that eats gluten. I'm like, how can I eat that and then eat gluten? So it'll clean it up for me. It's like, I can eat all the gluten I want to. I got a little enzyme that eats it all.
Gluten away.
This little packet just tears.
Did you just accidentally eat an entire loaf of bread? Are you about to go into a coma?
It wasn't an accident.
Gluten away.
The only gluten that I would splurge on like that is pizza.
Oh, hell yeah.
Eat the whole damn thing.
I tried to make a gluten-free crust once for a pizza, and it ended up, like, you know that play sand that's, like, solid, but then, like, it'll also, like, crumble.
Kinetic sand.
Yeah, it tasted like that.
What? So you know delicious. What that tastes like?
No comment. No. I thought it was cookie dough, man.
This cookie dough is sandy.
That gluten-free, what is that made of? It's not rice? No, because... what would you make that pizza like crust
almond, out of? Almond flour and flaxseed and...
Cardboard.
Yeah.
Cardboard.
I know some of the gluten-free beers are made with sorghum, which is a type of cereal grain that
Sorghum that gives you sorghums.
Yeah. It'll make your mouth bleed.
Yeah, it's that cereal with onyx sorghum.
What?
But,
yeah, we're all lost all of us.
We just all stopped. And,
there's a commercial that came on that I've heard, like some like cereal that's not made with like sugar. It's like onyx sorghum.
Hmm.
Oh, good story. Yep.
Good story.
I don't know this cereal. Gonna find it.
Grainberry. That's what it's called.
Grainberry.
Yeah.
That's like, the least original name you could think of.
What's in it? Well, grains and berries. Okay.
All right. Stay with me. I've got an idea.
Okay.
Grainberry.
Whoa.
Give that man a raise.
Oh, I just got my $1,000 for the week.
Yeah. Pretend like he didn't know, like it's not just written across like the underside of his eyelids.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
So we just need a hot chick.
Every time I do.
So now we just need a hot chick to eat it. That's all.
Don't we
Carl's
always?
Carl's I Jr. hope commercials. That was a clean take of that.
Yeah, it was. I Brody. Think it was.
Topical.
So let's see. David gets fired.
Yes.
Not really.
I'll go no, back this down is, and electrocute myself again.
I'm actually really enjoying this. I'm not going to lie. It's very refreshing.
It is very
doesn't
good.
Doesn't taste necessarily like a... It's a blonde, right?
That's, yeah, it is their blonde. It's, yeah, it's not, they take the blonde and then throw whatever weird enzyme in there, and that's what makes it this.
That's really... It's really good. It's refreshing, too. I would drink mm-hmm. that anytime, especially summer.
Yeah,
yeah, it's one of those, like, you know, we don't advertise that it's gluten-free, and then whenever people drink it, it's like, surprise.
Yeah, it's gluten-free. Very nice. I like it.
So did we do any beer chasing when we went on our beer adventures this weekend? I don't think we did.
I think we were chasing the blues away
from David's
very slow
work.
Progress on the freaking mural. Now, we went specifically to Untappd to make sure that we got lovely shots
yes.
that will be bookending this episode.
Sweet.
This video, but we were also kind of brainstorming what to bring on, and we had kind of a strategy. We wanted to bring a beer on that not very many people know about, one beer that when we announce it, you will definitely want to come up and grab some, and then one beer that's probably kind of overlooked, like most people, oh, that's just such and such beer. Really, right. really, really good beer.
Well, sweet. So, we got all those tonight.
Yeah, we checked off the boxes.
So we did try the new Bourbon BCBS.
Did we?
At Cool Keg.
Oh, yeah, remember. We did. Yeah.
I don't know.
Tiny one.
I don't know. I remember it. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right enough for me to buy another bottle, so.
Yep. Yeah, so we tallied our BCBS stockpile, and it turns out we have two bottles each of 15, 16, and 17.
Nice. Yeah.
So.
It's a little ridiculous, but we do. I don't know why I have so many bottles of that stuff. I'm just like, why? I went to which I'm stoked about. On tap, which we're going to get into on tap. We definitely will. Sorry. We like to put that off. But David today liked an event you guys are having on Monday. Super stoked, the Baptist.
Is he ready to get yes. baptized?
Oh, my God.
Ready to see Jesus? It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to East Chase Specs looking for the newest, the Triple Barrel Baptist and the Baptista.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have them, and he was like, we might get them on Friday, and I was like, God. But he said that Triple Baptist is going to be hard to get, and they might not get any. So I was like, well.
I think there's only like 6 kegs in all of North Texas.
Look at that, yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
And that's what he said something about the bottles, and I was like, damn, I guess I'm not going to get it, because I don't want to drive to Dallas. Dallas gets everything, and I'm like,
just
I'm
go down the street on Monday, get a crowler of it, and hold on to it, and drink it.
Hell yeah.
That's what happened, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so stoked. So I will see whoever's yep. there on Monday.
Yeah. He's like, I'll hitch a ride if I have to.
Yeah, I was like, man, going to get a flight with all four of those Baptists on there and be the happiest person in the world. I don't know why. I love that beer. I love the base beer.
Such a good
I love
beer.
All of it. Every piece of it. We cracked a 2016 Baptista.
Baptista, yeah.
And it was epic.
Life-changing.
The sad thing is I've never had the Baptista or the triple or double barrel, so I'm excited.
Oh, my God.
But yeah. Sun oven or the regular one, but man, those are great.
It's going to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I have a Baptist from last year and a Baptista, so when we crack those one day, you should come get in on that, too.
Yeah, give me a call.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's starting to get to, around this time, historically, on shows of this nature, we've had bottle shares that are all bourbon barrel aged.
No.
We had 13 the last time.
Oh.
It's funny because throughout the show, people can see it now watching the video, but we didn't used to do video. I write down all the beers we have so that I can put that online and people can kind of, you know, go try and find them and drink along
yeah.
at home. We had 13 beers that night. The first 5 Carpock BBH. Of various styles, like there's like a vanilla and chocolate and everything. By the fourth one, We had Michael Harper on. He was like, I am so damn tired of BBH. Do not pour me another Carbach beer. Like, yeah, we got one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
That was fun. But at the end of 13 in my little journal, you can kind of tell what I was trying to write, but I was inebriated when I
started. It looked like doctor's notes.
Yes.
It got worse. Metal band.
Does that say amoxicillin?
Worse. The show got worse. It was two and a half hours, I think we did.
2.5 hours.
Because it was like a whatever, a finale type deal. But whew, that we're not doing that again. If we do a barrel
show, that may be off camera.
Yeah. Or it'll be like 4, not 13. Because
we'll 16 next time.
There we go.
This is a show, not a podcast. It'll be the Casually Shit Show.
Casually Shit Show.
Hashtag. TM, 2017, Casually Shit.
Cover your ass.
All right, Drew, tell us about On Tap.
On Tap, largest growler bars in the Mid-Cities region in Arlington. We've got 50 taps on, all focusing on Texas craft beers. We constantly rotate beers in and out all the time, so anytime something blows, we put a completely different one on. We try to keep it eclectic, fun, from easy peasy to crazy crazy, light, dark, and everything in between.
Nice. Did you, like, memorize that? Because that just rolled right off. I don't think I've ever been that articulate.
It's the Facebook
bio.
You
know, when you see people all the time, you got to have that, be ready to go. Be nice. Like, what is this place?
Like, let me give you the elevator pitch. Like,
well, I've been perfecting over a year now.
Nice. So it sounded really good.
Sounded professional? All right.
Yes. Sounds like you got something there.
Yeah, so we opened up, we soft opened in December 17th last year, had our grand opening on January 26th, and we're doing another one-year anniversary on the 26th and the 27th. So we're excited about that.
Kind of an event. Is there going to be some special pours and stuff?
Special pour. Oh, my God. So we've been saving beers all year long. We've got the last keg of that we know of existence of High Westified from Lagunitas. So we have a quarter barrel of that. We've got Darkness Falls from Martin House, one of those. If you've missed it. KBS from Founders, CBS from Founders.
Oh, shit.
Darkest Hour from last year from Deep Ellum Brewing Company. A bunch of Birthday Bombs. Paradise from Prairie. These are just things off the top of my head. There's,
man,
so far about 14... I think it's 14 and we're up to now, but now we're starting to work with the breweries to get some special stuff that's about to release to put on as well.
I have wet dreams about that beer.
Can you go ahead and clear our schedule for that weekend?
Yes.
Yes. We're actually even taking off the Sunday. Like, we're not even going to be open because it's going to be that fun.
Yeah. You're probably going to have to clean up some bodies.
Awesome. We'll be waking up at the shop.
I'm stoked. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of So what made you decide to open the place?
It's my wife and I was when we got the idea of we've been in IT, me in the project management side, and she was in the development side for a long time, and she's still doing that now, bless her soul. And then we just, from that, decided to drink good beer. I've always been a fan of beer, always trying the new stuff. Our first official date was at Flying Saucer in Addison.
Nice.
And I was like, do you drink good beer? She goes, yeah, I drink Heineken.
Oh.
Almost canceled the date.
Yes,
glad one. I didn't. But yeah, we've been just putting this together in the back of our heads and said, you know what, it's time. Let's do this. Let's put it together. And her best friend has been a part of it as well, Jazz. She's been awesome and running, bless her heart, the day-to-day operations while I do all the fun beer stuff.
Yeah.
And the three of us have been just having a great time since then.
That's awesome. But that's one of the things that we can tell anytime we're coming in. It's a passion for you guys. It's not like we're, you know, a money-making venture. Like, obviously, you're a business, but we can see that you guys, like, physically enjoy everything that you do there. It's, you know, you curate an excellent list. You make really good relationships. You're one of the only places in North Texas where we can get brash beer. And that right there puts you way up here in my book.
Yeah, I used to live in Houston, helped that guy, the owner of Brash, helped him launch his bar way back when, and got all my friends there, and it's just been a great relationship. And when I started opening up, went down there and said, hey man, can you help me out? Throw me a bone. So it's just been a great relationship, and one to give DFW Brash beer. This awesome stuff, and I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
Definitely. Anytime there's like Easy Seven or Pussy Wagon, I'm like, well, gonna go get some Crowlers.
Yeah. Well, I know you talked about Monday with the Big Bad Baptist. Did you know that Saturday we're tapping Hammer Smashed Face?
Okay, oh. Saturday.
Ooh, Saturday. Damn, that's their anniversary beer, the bourbon barrel aged milk stout of awesomeness and metal and blackness and just everything could ever think of brash.
God, I love all those words.
I think it's the third keg that came up here, and two were at festivals.
Man, so, I'm going to have to not drink anything else.
Get your calorie budget ready.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's funny. I didn't know you had that relationship with them, obviously, but every time Brash popped up, we legitimately would be like, let's go. I was like, how does he keep getting these?
Magic.
Because, yeah, one of the first times, no, we went up there on your opening, but when that pops up, we go.
Definitely.
Nice.
It's awesome. Yeah, on tap, it's a good little spot. It's very comfortable. It's really, when you're in there, it's cool. The service is great. The people are great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't got any bartenders that don't listen to you or anything.
Yeah, I mean, we write above our bar.
Yeah.
Good beer to good people.
Yes.
Because that is our mission statement. We're not in here. We are here to make money because obviously it's a business. Right. But we're not here to just gouge prices and overcharge people because there's nothing else like it out there. I think there's just rude, and I don't believe in that. I, as a consumer, want to go to a place, try new stuff, try interesting things, and talk to the people about it. And so the people we hire, the people we bring in, are beer nerds. They will live and breathe this stuff every day. And I think that's more important.
That's incredibly important. One of the last shows we did was with Craft Brew Enthusiast, and Eric and Aaron are two of the coolest, most honest people that are what they say. They're craft beer enthusiasts. So they write a blog. They've got all this other stuff that they do. They do these events. But they were talking about just all the relationships that they forge with everyone and how it just enriches the craft. It enriches the craft beer scene for DFW. Have you met anyone specifically that you can think of off the top of your head that's just standing out as doing the most for DFW craft beer?
The reps from all the DFW breweries are just so amazing. They come in and they're doing a great job, and they do a hard job, honestly, just trying to sell their beers with 60 something. What are we up to now? I don't even know how many breweries we're up to in DFW, but everyone's vying for a piece of that pie, and it's hard to differentiate yourself and make yourself notable and stand outish against everyone else. I think one of the person that really stands out is Marco Morales from Martin House. He comes in the shop. He is just larger than life. He's a little guy, but he's larger than life, and he engages everyone in the shop, regardless of if they want to be engaged or not.
Yeah.
He's always a lot of fun. He knows everything about it. He knows what's going on, not only at his brewery, but every other place in DFW. And he's always fun when he comes around.
Totally. Yeah. We met him at Jekyll's way back when. And every time we see him, like, it's like, hey man, how's it going? Hey. And we catch up like we're old friends.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. So from a craft beer buyer's standpoint, what sort of trends do you see? How do you make your mark on the DFW craft scene buying beer from these breweries?
So it's a lot of fun because when we first started looking at business venture, we thought about doing a brewery, but we saw so many breweries popping up. But that's not a bad thing. But, you know, a smaller investment and kind of being able to be more dynamic was opening up tap shops. So we made that decision to go with that. And we're kind of like providing real estate for all these craft breweries to have a tap in them. Because it's hard to get into those places that only have 4 or 5 taps. When you have 50, you can rotate things in and out. What I'm seeing a lot more of is this hyper-locality of everything. You've got Fort Worth that's locked down that they only buy Martin House, Collectives, Panther Island, RAR. You see that a lot in Dallas as well. And then we get that a lot, like, what's a Texas beer? What's a Texas beer? What's a North Texas beer? What is a Arlington beer? Like, it drills down and down and down.
What is a Pantego beer?
Not yet. Pantego. Soon. But I'm seeing a lot of that, at least hearing that from the market. And so a lot of people are asking for what's the most local beer, especially in Arlington, this area. You got a lot of people in for Cowboys games, Rangers games, events. It's a big town that draws a lot of people in. And so people want to know, hey, what's new? What's different that I've never had?
Great. I mean, that's kind of cool. I've got a lot of friends that live outside of the area, and I have one friend that comes through every now and then, and they, in their mind, make Arlington, oh, that's the playground of Texas. That's where the state, they're not the state fair, but the Six Flags is what I was trying to say. Six Flags is, you've got Rangers Ballpark, you've got AT&T Stadium, you've got all the different shops, outlets. We're about to have a flipping IKEA in Grand Prairie, mm-hmm. which I'm pretty excited about as a white guy. That's just pretty great. But yeah, being able to go to these, you know, these events, take the kids out, enjoy yourself, but also still see what North Texas has to offer in craft beer. That's kind of an important box to check.
It is. It is. And especially with Arlington, I'm a UTA grad. And I graduated over 10 years ago, but during my stint here, it was always the large town with nothing to do. I mean, there's lots to do, like big event things wise, but there's no place to really go out. There was like Caves Lounge and the old Hooligans and the old Mavericks, but mm-hmm. two of those have moved on, and Caves is still there, but it's not the same Caves as it used to be.
That's kind of, it's funny that you say that, because that is so true. That's still almost still kind of true. You're like, you're in Arlington, you're like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, it was always, you want to go to Fort Worth or you want to go to Dallas?
Yeah. Like, we're smack dab in the middle. We should be pulling people from Fort Worth and Dallas.
So, yeah.
I mean, until BFF opened, there really wasn't a good place to drink craft beer for the most part. Cool Keg, but they haven't been open that long.
About a year and a half, 2 years now.
So, I mean, it was BFF is like, I think 3 years-ish or whatever, close to that. But that was the only place we could go. And then, of course, Cool Keg and then On Tap. And it's like, yes, we got all kinds of places.
Finally, real
and
beer.
Brew City.
Yes, Brew City. You got to throw them some love. They also have a pretty nice selection.
Place of the devil. Beer and dollar pizza. Yeah. And
barbecue.
And gas up your car. Hey, it's ready to go. Everything you need.
Yes. To go, you're like leaving with wine. You're like, what have I done? What have I done?
What just happened to me?
I had the whole pizza and drank 4 pints of freaking cheap pedicles. Yeah, let's sit down for $4. Back off. Can't stand it. Yeah, it's like, no. I need 3 of those, please, from my tummy. Anyways, but yeah, no, you're right. It's so funny when you think about it, because the big events, you got the Rangers, the Cowboys, and then nothing.
It's yeah. Over.
Yep. So some if concerts. It's not a sports season. Concerts.
Yeah. Got Justin Bieber playing. But yeah, I'm glad. It's good to see guys like you opening places. And I'm glad more people are starting to do it, because, I mean, Arlington food places are starting to open. Things are starting to change, and it's awesome. And it's because of places like On Tap and Cool Keg, the Pioneers, the arcade place.
Yeah, Free Play.
Free Play popping up everywhere.
What sort of events do you usually hold, like monthly events at On Tap?
Usually every Tuesday we do some sort of pint night. Wednesdays are kind of our music night with middle of the month open mics, or we do hyper-specific trivia nights. Next Wednesday on the 13th, we're doing Star Wars trivia.
Yes!
And if you think you know Star Wars, you don't know Star Wars.
I definitely don't.
Ooh, this is I do all the questions myself. I deep dive through a lot of the lore of a lot of things, and man, I still get surprised every week or every month when people come out and they'll pull something out like they know everything about this topic. Thursdays we do Thirsty Thursdays. Every Thursday we'll pick 3 beers for $3 pints.
Oh my god!
$5 Crowler Growler, 32-ounce fills, and $8 64-ounce fills.
Crowlers, I've heard they become really popular.
Crowlers are selling about 2 or 3 to every 1 regular growler, and it's such a great thing. So some people will come in like, I want to fill this growler with it between these 2 beers, and say, get a crowler of the other one.
Por qué no los dos?
Boom.
Yeah, I mean, you pay $1 extra and get whatever the
a 32-ounce can of awesome beer that lasts forever,
ready to go, and you can handle 32 ounces by yourself.
That's turned into be my nightly kind of beer. I have 1 beer, 32 ounces.
Yeah, it's all in
10 to 12%.
It's like serving. Nachos. If all the cheese is connecting everything, it's one nacho.
It's one nacho.
Yeah. One serving, 32 ounces. Yeah, I think it was funny because when growlers first started taking off, I was really excited about that, and I quickly realized that buying 64-ounce growlers for yourself wasn't going to really work.
Not with that attitude.
No, I was like, I had an incident with a Velvet Hammer growler, and that's a whole story, and made its own way onto the internet, and it was great.
Yeah.
My wife came home and found me asleep on the couch with a controller in my hand because I was playing some game.
I only had one.
I can already tell this.
One growler.
I already know this is a Hefeweizen.
Very good.
I'm good at the banana clove smell.
Now, this is a special Hefeweizen. This is Big Bend.
Nice.
National Park Hefeweizen. He used to just be called Big Ben Hefeweizen. It is the original awesome Hefeweizen. If anyone's ever had Live Oak Hefeweizen, yes. The original recipe, the guy moved out to Big Ben and he started that brewery. And nice. He took his recipe with him and made it almost better, I think. That we can't even get Live Oak up here, this is just our go-to Hefe.
Yeah, they pulled out, didn't they? Pulled out of this market so they could focus more on Austin.
Sometimes you got to pull out.
How was the pull out?
Best Stranger Things 2 line of the entire season.
That was awesome.
Did y'all just spoil the whole show for somebody?
Yep.
Spoilers.
Yeah. The Demogorgon pulls out.
You know, with Netflix showing things in massive binge watching, what's the timeline on spoilers?
Yeah, like, that's true. That's a good point.
If you didn't watch it in 2 days, I can spoil
it. It's already all out there. Yeah. Come on. But I love someone, one of my friends posted today is like, I love how Netflix has ruined the word marathon to become exactly opposite of what it should be.
Yeah.
Sitting on the couch for 2-4 hours and watch the entire thing.
It's so unhealthy. My brain just turns to complete slush.
Ready for the marathon? Yeah, I ordered 6 pizzas. I've got all this beer. I'm literally not going to move. Got the bedpan right there.
That commercial where it shows them as a young couple sitting on the couch, and then by the end of it, they've got full beards. It's like, we finished it. It's like, oh my God.
Nice.
Just watched all of Game of Thrones. Now, this is delicious. Holy crap.
Yeah. So with Hefeweizen, you got really kind of two main Hefeweizen tastes. One, the clove, and one more bubblegummy. Clove and banana and bubblegummy. And this is just like perfect blend that I love, personally. This is good German-style Texas Hefeweizen.
I agree.
Damn, that is good.
That's very tasty.
Hefeweizen is a style that I would like everybody out there to try. It's one of those very unique, like a Belgian, you know, it's very different. You're like, oh, I don't know if, and then you try it and you're like, whoa, this is really good.
The Germans know a little bit about brewing.
They do.
I think they've done it a little while.
And it's, and you know, those words scare, well, in my opinion, they scare especially people that don't drink a lot of beer. They see Hefeweizen like, ugh.
That's very true. There's a lot of beers that like Dunkelweizen, Hefeweizen, even just Doppelbock. They're like, what is that?
Yeah. Like, that ain't English.
And people don't order it because they're just kind of scared exactly. or confused by it. And it, as being behind the bar, as a beerista of sorts, you got to be able to, yeah, it's a fancy word.
Hashtag beerista.
You got to go and educate people. And that's what it's all about. It's saying, hey, you may not know what this is. Just try this. Because you're describing what this tastes like.
Yes.
Like, now, this is a great example of that. You like wheat? I don't know. Try this. Boom.
Yeah. I eat bread.
I've had wheat once or twice. Yeah. I ain't celiac, so it's good.
That's a hobby of mine. When I've poured for David, that's a hobby, is for people to walk up and be like, oh, I don't like this. And by the time we're done talking, they've tried his porter and they're like, oh, well, I guess I do like that. And I'm like, bam.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't like dark beers. Like, first off, dark beer is literally meaningless. It means nothing because there's dark sours, there's dark hoppy, there's dark malty, there's dark nothing. There's just... strike that from your vocabulary. If you're listening to this show and you're like, oh, I like dark beers. No, you don't. It takes 10 seconds to remember you like malty beers.
Yes.
Malty.
It's from Malta, right?
Yes, as the Maltese Falcon.
Yes.
What Germany country invented malty beers? That's a question on
Maltova.
Your Cicerone test.
Maltiva Convention was the current announcement. That's nothing either. Misinformation.
Fake news.
Hashtag fake news.
Yep, there it is.
Nice. David's misinformation.
We see that a lot. People like, oh, like, I love dark beers. I like Guinness. You have no idea what Guinness is. It has less alcohol than Bud Light. It's high in calories and it has no taste. Try this. Yep. But that, I mean, honestly, that's half the fun, is I could talk beer to everyone all day, and I always have for years. And now I can just make a living out of it.
That's pretty great.
That's awesome. Yeah, making a living out of talking to people about beer.
Yeah.
So someone walks into your shop, does not have any craft beer knowledge at all, and they say, I don't know what I like. Tell me what I want. What do you say to someone like that?
I say, well, what beers do you normally drink? And if you know,
I drink Bud Light.
Oh, Bud Light? Well, here, I've got a couple of different beers for you, because we do keep a couple alternatives like that. Mm-hmm. And we do give out tasters, because I believe that I would rather you have the right beer for you and taste it and try it than try to sell you a beer that you don't like. So we That's do awesome. Offer tasters of all of our beers anytime anyone wants it, up to five within reason.
I mean, sure.
It has been pushed a few times. Like,
I would
okay,
like one taster of every beer you have.
Yeah, shit or get off the pot.
Come on. Taster. Especially that root beer. I want all of them.
Yeah, all one. But yeah, I mean, we're there to find the right beer for the right people. And we want to make sure that when you come to our shop that you will leave satisfied with that beer. And if it takes a couple of tasters for that, so be it. Nice. I'd rather take that hit myself, my family on tap, all of us all believe in the same thing. We'd want you to find the right beer. That's why we're there.
Damn, that's excellent. I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. Like that's the kind of place that makes people want to come back.
Yeah,
because like you can go in there and like you said, if someone tries to sell you a beer just so that you can drink it, make you know they make their money and then you leave, what kind of review are you gonna leave?
Yeah, I mean, how are you gonna tell people? Have you gone to a place and they're just like, oh, try this beer, you'll like it, and it's kind of crappy, and then you realize, oh, because it's been on there for Nitro. And you realize that's the beer that's been on there for like 4 months, it hasn't been selling, and they're just pushing it to get it out. And I'm like, no, I don't believe in that. Okay. Our product is not beer. Our product is knowledge.
Excellent.
And so everyone we have make sure all my guys have tried every new beer, and we talk about it. We discuss what we taste, and we all have different palates. That's what we discuss. That's half the fun. Hey, we're drinking beer and talking about it as a job. I mean, you can't get better than that.
That's pretty amazing. I'm just going to say
that's how it's done.
That's very important, and that sums everything up. That's the same thing we tell everybody out here. We've had beers that we don't like. We'll openly say, hey, we don't like this. Go try it.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's another big thing. I think there's a lot of – with so many breweries opening up and so many different beers coming out, it's okay to tell someone their beer sucks.
Yeah.
That's and true. You know, it's your personal opinion. Someone else may like it. That's fine. My mantra has always been that brewer put this beer out there and he said, this is how it should taste. This is how I like it. And he released it because he believes in it, or he or she believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be my taste. And I'll tell you if it's not. Yeah. But someone likes it.
Sure. No, that's a fair point.
I just pictured a brewer like yelling at you, my mom likes it. She says it's the best.
My mom says I'm cool.
My mom says my beer is great.
She says it's special and she rubs a special ointment on its hiney every night.
And she gave me the loan to open this place. Oh, no. But we can't say that enough. But this beer, you should go buy it immediately. But I don't think you can. Is it? It's not canned, is it?
Don't know if it's canned or bottled.
I guess you have to go to On Tap in Arlington.
Yeah, it's pretty much been our standard Hefeweizen. We try rotating Hefeweizens in and out, but we always come back to this one. It's just that good. Yeah.
It's excellent. I've been to Germany. I'm going to brag for a second. Oh. I went to Germany with the Texas A&M Wind Ensemble.
Okay.
Played a concert and drank a lot of beer.
Nice.
And the Hefeweizens over there taste exactly like that.
Yeah.
Slightly hazier. You know, nothing is pasteurized over there. Oh, everything is just whatever's in the air, you're going to drink it. But it, oh my God, this is a taste of the old country.
Yes. Yeah, so you taste the Reinheitsgebot right in the glass.
Yes. And he didn't just sneeze. Reinheitsgebot is an old, it's a German purity law for the brewing of beer.
From like came about 1500s, 15, yeah, like 20 something.
1520 sounds six. Right. Sure. 1526.
Yeah, it sounds right. That's perfect. Don't quote
if Wikipedia
me on that.
Article is wrong.
Can we go
it,
ogle
that's
that?
A lie.
Go ogle it.
Go ogle it.
Hey, go ogle.
Use your go ogle machine. Yeah, we don't have Hey Google anymore. We used to interrupt shows by saying Hey Google.
And then she wouldn't cooperate.
No,
she didn't like being on the show. But definitely. This is very, very good beer.
Apparently, it's a really beautiful brewery out there. It's in Alpine, Texas, way out west.
Home to Sol Ross University.
What? Yes, actually. Yeah, that's right.
Good I know because there's a statue of Sol Ross on A&M. This has been the Texas A&M Minute. Give me money.
Nerd!
That's literally the expanse of my knowledge on Alpine, Texas.
Is the Sol... Right,
Sol Ross University. Sol Ross
University.
Yeah,
I was like, I got it. I'm thinking. I know what you said.
Nice.
What made you decide to go with 50 taps?
Well, so being in the IT field, I did a lot of business analytics and number crunching, Excel spreadsheets. Just where's that nerd's clip again? It was a lot of that. And I just always been a stats nerds guy, and 50 just. From everything I saw, like 30 would be too small. 70 would be too many. You want to have a good variety that still moves. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have like 20 IPAs on because that's too many.
Yeah.
You don't have too many of anything to really spread everything too thin. And with 50, it seemed like this nice sweet spot with dim graphics and all the other numbers mm-hmm. scrunching with that, that it just it worked out.
Nice.
That was I always wondered, like you go in there, you're like 50 taps.
49 was too small. Yeah. 52 seemed excessive.
Yeah, 52 at that point, deck of cards.
Get that extra one in there. And so when you talk about freshness too, well, what you said about the IPAs, freshness, is that something that concerns you a lot or?
Absolutely. You want to have a fresh IPA. You want to drink an IPA that's been there for a long time.
And that's, it's something that we try to educate people on. It's very important. And people don't, you know, you want to preach that really loud. It's like if you go into a place, you want to know that everything's trustable, that you're not getting an old IPA because sugar bomb.
Rock candy.
Ooh, is this a barley wine now? What's going on?
Yeah, I was at that same Specs 3 weeks ago, and they had an IPA on sale, and 90% of the time that means it's old. So I was flipped over this community. I was like, oh no.
Look at the born on date.
Put that back.
It's more important on these beers than it is the Bud Light beers, but yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things I do pay attention to, like what IPAs are coming out and or if distributors are, hey, here's a discounted keg or really pushing something and said,
there you go.
When did that get released?
Oh
yeah. Enjoy by 1031. I don't think I want that right now.
I never thought about that. Distributors trying to push that on you. Wow.
It's one of those things that I've learned as a craft beer enthusiast that you really need to pay attention to that kind of stuff as a buyer, not just a consumer.
Yeah.
Because I hear things like there's bars out there that they don't even know what they're buying. This distributors come in and say, here's what you're getting.
Woof.
Wow. So, yeah, it's opened up a big world jumping from the consumer side to the, I guess, retail side just like, wow, there's a lot more going on than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So how many actual distributors do you have to deal with? Are we allowed to go down this path?
And there are five major distributors, I think five distributors total for beer specifically in the DFW area, or at least in Fort Worth, Collin County side, or not Collin County, but Tarrant County side. But then there's also a lot of independent people, like Petticoals is still independent. Right. Martin House is independent. Tufts is independent. There's a lot of independent breweries that come out as well. So it's a bit overwhelming to keep track of everyone and where every beer comes from and what to even pay attention to at this point.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's so weird that I never thought about a distributor having old kegs and trying to force them. I never thought of that until just now. And now I'm like, oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah, just like fire-saled beer. You should think about fire-saled distributor beer. It's like, oh, this keg that's normally $200 is actually $80.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that means it's really
There's old. A reason.
Like, I'll only buy fire cell beer if it's a stout or something like that, or a porter.
Yeah, something
like,
that'll hold up.
I'm like, that'll still have some flavor.
Yeah.
Like, Dream Crusher, fire cell, no, I'll pass.
Yeah.
Nope, no pedicle is a dream.
But, I mean, it's not necessarily bad because there's some things that are seasonal that people just stop buying. Like, for example, pumpkin ales.
Yeah.
Yep.
How many pumpkin ales are you seeing coming out right now? There's
not very many anymore.
They're all being fire saled.
Yep.
And not because they're bad. They all hold up.
But it's just there's a very clear pumpkin season.
Yes.
And as soon as the last touchdown is scored on Thanksgiving, cut that shit out.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is the cutoff.
Yep.
And then now you're in Christmas beers and you hope you sell them all before Christmas.
Yep. That's true. Because then like January, New Year's, here's the New Year's. All spice stout.
Yeah, the Santa stout from... oh, God, no.
Who's stouts? I'm in the mood for stouts right now, and I can't find any. They're not flavored. It's starting to annoy me. The Speedway stout.
Oh, yeah.
That one's not flavored.
Alesmith.
And then, Alesmith Speedway. And then I'm just looking for those, and I can't find them. Victory has Storm King.
Yeah.
But all I'm finding is like cinnamon, sugar, vanilla, pineapple. I'm like, I don't want it.
Tis the season.
Because y'all said that.
And the last two, three times I've been to Division, I've gone straight for Ben Stout because it's back and it's a good, solid, unflavored, very well executed stout that's not going to knock you on your ass every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It will after a while.
Is it six or eight? Is it six or eight? I'm going to be mad at myself if I'm wrong.
I don't think it's six. I think it's like eight.
I failed. I'm sorry, Wade. Put me out of my misery.
Another good one that's come out, First Slipper from Hot Fusion, now in cans.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, oh. awesome, awesome. Temptress used to be like
the milk queen, stout.
Or, yeah. But like the milk stout for DFW. Oh, nice. And Temptress is great. It still is. Don't get me wrong. But it's just nice to have something different to disrupt it. Like, another really good milk stout.
Challenge the throne.
Exactly. Which is great. It's always good to have innovation by having these kind of contenders come in and push things around.
Definitely. 100% agree. Yeah. Temptress is another one that I give to people that don't drink a whole lot of craft beer. Like, try this. And they go, oh, that's really good. And then the next thing you know, they're buying something else. My favorite beers to do that with are, dang it, the local Buzz.
Right.
Anybody that drinks Bud Light or any of that stuff, if you try local Buzz, that's a gateway.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this is really good.
And they'll start drinking hard beers.
And then, yeah, and Blood and Honey, of course.
Yeah, I was about to say my three DFW beers for the longest time were Temptress, Mosaic, and Blood and Honey.
Oh my gosh, yeah, those were three.
That's a hell of a trio.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what you like. You want something light, you get Blood and Honey. You want something a little hoppy, you go with Mosaic. You want something dark, I mean, you can't beat those three.
That's like the superhero trio of DFW beer, except one of them turned to the dark side.
Start sweating over here. Oh, but the Revolver's not going to sponsor us now.
Oh, darn. I was really counting on that Miller money.
We're not going to get our free shipment of BBH for Michael.
Well, that brings kind of an interesting perspective into the buyout, sellout situation. It's always, you know, 2016 and early 2017 saw a lot of really big buyouts that were a surprise to a lot of people. People in the industry weren't quite as surprised, but it was still kind of a...
You know what? I'm hearing a lot of judging.
from a retailer's perspective, what does it mean to you when a local or an independently owned brewery, quote-unquote, sells out?
That is a really great question.
without stepping on toes.
So I get that a lot. A lot of people ask for Blood and Honey, of course, because it's blood money. It's just so... Nice. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's great. Carbock, we get that a lot. And then the crazy people ask for Wicked Weed Sours.
That one hurt a little bit.
It did.
This was the worst thing that I've ever put in my mouth.
it's a fun... philosophical area that I have a lot of ethical issues with, honestly. And the way I define it personally, and for On Tap as well, is where does the money go? So, for instance, Blood and Honey with Revolver, they're sold to SAB Miller, and SAB Miller actively lobbies against craft brewery.
Right.
Because of that, I will not support them.
Right.
And a lot of people give me crap because I put on Lagunitas. And Lagunitas, yes, does have is completely bought out by Heineken now, but Heineken does not lobby, as far as I can tell.
Right.
Okay. It is completely distribution rights to help put Lagunitas wherever Heineken is. And I think that's a win for craft beer.
That's definitely a really good way to look at that.
But I mean, there's still a lot of gray area. Like, what about Ballast Point? What about, there's all these iffy things back and forth. So it's not easy. It's not as black and white as I would like.
Sure. No. Who?
And they definitely don't make it easy on your average craft beer fan. Like, if you hear someone getting bought out, your immediate reaction is, oh, well, fuck them. I'm never having that beer ever again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's a really good point, bringing up with Lagunitas, because before they sold out, I was the biggest fan of Lagunitas. I read his book. I was like a Tony McGee guy. And I would do, they had the... what is it, Short Port? Or they have like a video series. I'm trying to think of what it's called. But anyway, they kind of pull the curtain back and talk a lot more about what it meant to open the second brewery in Chicago and sign this major distribution deal that was a 50-50 partnership. So it was even a different kind of buyout. And I was all on board that, and then they bought them all the way. And I was like, oh, no, we lost another one. Well, what's that? Another one to Ditech.
Avery just sold out.
Oh, yeah. Avery is bought by San Miguel?
I believe.
Spanish brewery, San Miguel, which falls in the same kind of Heineken boat. It's another European giant brewery buying an American great brewery to get more access of their beers over here, and then also entail get the American beers over in Europe.
International. There you go.
Which you mentioned being in Germany at one point. I mean, you couldn't find any IPAs anything that you're normally drinking. It's all very German beers. Yeah. But
for a long time, they looked at the American craft brewers movement as, what are these crazy Americans doing? They're wasting these hops. You're only supposed to put 1 pound per barrel. That's all the hops you need. These people are putting 12 pounds per barrel. They're just wasting. They're diminishing the hop. Of course, they said this all with a very nice German accent. I can't do German accent.
Well, I'm sorry. I like IPAs with lots of hops, Mr. German.
Yeah, now we have Stone Brewing Company in Berlin. How awesome is that?
Yeah. Suck it. No, that's you can't even say like good. I got to work on my German accent.
Yeah.
I know it's absolutely impossible, but favorite brewery-ish, you know, I know that's hard.
I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. I'm a big fanboy for Brash, of course. That's fine. Everything he does, do two types of beers, a big FU stout and a big FU IPA. I like both of those. Those are my two favorite styles. Like,
well, we have a lot in common.
Yeah. Anything that they put out, I've just fallen in love with. Not just because I'm a fanboy, because they do solid beers. They do research their beers. Ben's been in there for a very long time. He's been on my side of the bar, understanding where the market goes, and he's great sense, and he's got great people around him.
Nice.
So you answered both. Because my next question was going to be favorite styles, but he's already on top of that too.
FU stouts and FU IPAs.
There we go.
Nice.
So I said, I stand by sit down, or I'll sit you down for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes.
Anywhere where that's on, screw it, I'm getting it.
That's my favorite Pedicola. Beer.
Yes, but old Pedicolas.
I will definitely, because it sells so well, I'll absolutely have a Pedicola sandal in my tap room if I can help it.
Yeah. What else? You got anything else?
Nope. This has been an amazing, really. I mean, anytime we go into On Tap, you're a pleasure to talk to, and everyone up there just knows everything. You've said it. Everyone up there is a beer nerd. There are people. We enjoy talking to you guys. So it's been really cool having you come in and kind of share with us how you got into it and what you're doing.
Anytime. Yeah, I would love having you guys out and love anyone who comes out. We'll talk your ear off about beer. So we're ready for you.
Awesome. Yeah, that place. It's awesome. It's cozy. It's great.
Sucks.
We missed the
get a room.
We missed the we missed the trivia nights though. That's what sucks for us since we do this on Wednesday, because I wanted to do the Rick and Morty trivia.
Yeah, and then the Office trivia. Yeah. Oh. We were going to send my wife, but she was not feeling well.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, man. And now Star Wars trivia. I'm like, so we're gonna have to move the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, I want to do these trivias. Is it pretty crowded on the trivia nights?
Yeah, the trivia nights have been just phenomenal. It's way more successful than any of us ever thought. Nice. The place starts packing up around 6:30, and until close, it's packed.
Nice.
It is the one of the few times we actually double up on staff and have a lot more staff going on just to keep up with the demand of everything.
Nice. That's excellent. Where can people find y'all?
We can find us on Facebook at OnTapDFW. Same thing for Instagram and Twitter, OnTapDFW, and then OnTapDFW.com.
And right smack dab in the middle heart of downtown Arlington.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Drew, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, anytime. Thank you, guys.
Did you guys watch the Marvel trailer?
Yes.
We're not done yet. David's trying to shoo us off. We still have a beer left.
How about that Thanos?
Oh, my God.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my God. I can't put it into words how excited I am.
And but then he lost his hat. Where'd his crown go? He looks like Bruce Willis.
I know. People are already making fun of the way he looks. I'm like, the shot's probably not finished yet. Shut up.
Have you seen the Hank Hill?
I've seen the Hank Hill. I've seen the Homer one.
Yeah. Give me that gauntlet, I'll tell you what. Mama, that boy ain't right.
But no, Captain America's nomad. He's got a beard and long, sexy hair. It's like, oh my God, this movie's going to be so awesome. I don't think I've ever gotten that excited about a trailer probably since the first Avengers trailer. But yeah.
That's a hell of a trailer, though.
Yes.
Was legitimately epic. He's already got a... Two of the stones, two of the Infinity Stones.
Three, I thought he had. Third one going on. Yeah. And then you see him also taking out Vision's little...
Yeah, that's the first one he puts there, the first one in the gauntlet. So. Is it
the Mind Stone?
Yeah.
The Power Stone?
Not that I've read anything about this. I'm just making it up.
I saw one post online about it, and I'm not up on the lore, or however you're supposed to say that.
Yeah, don't mess this up, David.
But all the pretty rocks in his glove look really neat. So... I'm sure he's going to hurt someone with it.
Already know that's coconut in that stout for sure.
Yes.
Look at me get better every day.
Right. Wow.
So which beer is it? Well, you only have 17,000 to pick from.
Yeah, no. It's like coconut stout. This is not Darkness Falls.
Nope. It's we close. Talked about the base beer earlier today and how good it is.
Ah, I can't. What is it?
This is Coco Añejo.
Oh, okay.
This is the first slipper, Hop Fusion's first slipper, but with coconut in it.
That's Hop Fusion?
Lots of coconut.
I love this beer. I'm super impressed. A coconut fan, but this is the first coconut stout that tastes like freaking coconut.
Wow. Super duper coconut.
I've had a lot of coconut porters and stouts, and it's like, okay, I guess.
I think most of the time people are afraid to put too much coconut in it because it's one of those kind of polarizing flavors. Like, this is liquid almond joy.
Exactly. It's like drinking an almond joy.
That really is. That's a very good explanation.
That means my wife would love it. That's her favorite candy. So Darkness Falls had coconut in it, right? I'm not crazy.
Yes, okay. Rum barrel aged coconut milk stout with vanilla and coconut nibs.
But it just had the, it was barrel aged, right? Yeah,
correct.
So it got that boozy, got that boozy taste to it. This,
about that booze.
Do you miss that beer?
Because it's going to be at
going to be at the anniversary party. Yeah, have the extra keg.
That was a great beer.
And do me a little coconut flight with this, and if you ever get Shoe Fly.
Shoe Fly. We've had that one. That's
all the coconut.
Everything from Whistle Post really impressed me. They came by with a six-pack of six different beers for a new brewery. I was just blown away by everything they brought in.
Nice.
Oh, I was very impressed.
You've been to Whistle Post, haven't you?
That's what happened to us. We went to 903, and what my friend Rody, who's not here, what he likes to do is wherever we land at, we'll drive all the way far away to go to a brewery, and then he'll just type brewery on his phone, and the first he'll be like, never heard of this place. Let's go. That's how we've been to Ivanhoe. We've been to Whistle Post, all these weird thirsty bro, weird places that we didn't even know existed. And Whistle Post, oh my gosh. So we had a flight and it was like, what are you guys doing out here?
Yeah, like, why are you not blown up at this point? Yeah. It's huge.
And they have a distillery right next door too. They have a huge distillery, huge brewery. And
I just remember because you guys had that cucumber vodka.
Yep.
I'm not a big vodka drinker, but that was delicious.
Yep. That shit is really good.
I look over at Chris because he'd drink it.
I love vodka.
Yep.
That absolutely was a clean take.
You need to say that in a Russian voice, though. I love vodka.
I love vodka.
A vodka drink.
Das
vodka.
Vodka.
Yeah, oh God! Yeah, I'm with you. Whistle Post. It's surprising, the Lizard Scorcher IPA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the watermelon version of that. Have y'all had that one?
I have not.
I've never had a watermelon IPA, and I took a chance, picked it up, and oh my God, it is refreshing. It's great. It's still 7%, right on my alley, but easy drinking, right between Jolly Rancher and the actual watermelon. It's like not too sweet, not too bland. Perfect.
That's excellent. I think the only watermelon beer that I've 100% just, I heard the hype, I drank it and lived up to it was 21st Amendment, Hell or High Watermelon.
That's the standard, that's gold standard.
Hell yeah.
I can't. It's so good. Rody had some watermelon beer that came from Walgreens and I don't remember what it was though.
Oh no, what we had was the Green Zebra.
That one was bad too.
That one.
Was that Founders?
Yes, it was Founders. And I was like, all right, Founders, let's do this. And I took a big old whiff. There's something else in that. I think that was the first show.
You called it dirty diaper smell.
Yeah.
Someone snuck in the watermelon.
Tasted fine. Smelled like a baby poo.
Oh. Oh, that was not fun.
Oh.
It's like a delicious watermelon with just a little bit of feces on it. Tasted fine.
This first slipper. This has got me pretty stoked about stouts that I'm looking for. And that's just the right amount of coconut, too. It's not like, I've got so much cinnamon and sugar in here. You don't know what you're doing.
It's straight good. Coconut. Yeah. It's only coconut. It's the only adjunct in it. And it's more than you're expecting, but not over the top.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Because you take a whiff of that and you're thinking, oh my God, sunscreen. What the hell? This is going to be terrible. And then you taste beautiful balance. Finishes very nice. It's not that sweet cloying kick twang at the back that sometimes you get.
And I think Hop Fusion is an underrated place in Fort Worth because
it's a beautiful place.
Because it's overshadowed, of course, by RAR and Martin House and blah. But Hop Fusion, the building is freaking awesome. The way the picnic tables and all that are in there and the bar. It's one of my favorite places too.
Hop Fusion was one of my favorites to follow right before they opened up because they did kind of what we're doing. They put the blog out and they put like their stories. They took photos all the time. Anything that they were doing and building, they were talking about, and when I had trouble with the city, and like, well, the city's holding us up. They were very transparent, and you know, unfortunately, that's not a very common thing. Like, you can go to any brewery, and you can, they, you know, most of them that have a blog will go back to where they started and everything, and they kind of tend to like, well, we're not ready to release yet. We're not going to hold anything. I'm all about transparency. I want anyone who comes in here to know, yeah, he started as a homebrew. Literally, go to my first post. It's about me homebrewing for like the fifth time. You can go back and read that right now, all the way up to the point where we decided, all right, we're going to open a brewery. And then the year and a half of us, well, we haven't opened the brewery yet. Like, it's a freaking journey. I'm not going to hide that and pretend like I just knew what I was doing right away. I just turned 30. I'm trying to figure this shit out as we go along. But at the same time, craft beer is important enough to me that I need to be able to share this with people because it's a story. It's all about the relationships people make across beer. It's, you know, the social lubricant. It's what helps. Whoa. That's a thing. That's social lubricant.
In these days of times, you might not want to use that.
Things get slippery, and it makes things better.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's great. It's great.
But that's what I love about
transparency. Is amazing. I think in this digital age, we can share so much more than we could 5 years ago. I
mean, sure.
Hell, we even lived some of this stuff tonight. Yeah. Like live feeded that. That's weird. It's crazy. It's like. See me on the internet in real time?
Yeah, that's already out there. Oh, people have screenshot. That's crap. In the Library of Congress right now.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, no.
Hey, you're already doing better than a couple of breweries have been trying to open for 4 years.
Yeah, hell, Noble Ray took a long time to open, but man out there open, they're one of my favorites in DFW. They cannot do wrong.
Armadillo is still opening up. They just won gold medal. Like they're still doing great stuff, but it's like, where's your brewery, man? I want to go. Well, it's been 4 years in the making.
That brunch money.
Should be coming out soon.
It's good stuff.
I love that. So the two questions I ask the Armadillo guy every time he comes in. When's brunch money coming out? When's your brewery open? And he knows it now. He just walks in soon.
Yeah, because they brewed it Grapevine, right? Or Grapevine for a little while, trying to push them out.
Yeah, they're at Deep Bellum, and then they moved to Grapevine, and then Deep Bellum bought Grapevine, and they still have one fermenter out there to push their beer out. So that's really pushing them to get their beer out, their brewery up and running.
Huh. Nice.
Deep Bellum bought Grapevine. Why didn't we talk about that?
It's kind of on the DL. Grapevine shut down, but Deep Bellum is keeping it going and pretty much acquired the entire thing.
Oh, wow.
If you liked Grapevine beer, go to the tap room because they're getting rid of all of the Grapevine
beer. So it's going
to
turn into a Deep Bellum, another tap room?
I don't know if they're keeping the tap room open.
Oh,
man, that's a shame. That was a beautiful tap room.
It was a great tap room. I love that.
It's one of the best patios in the entire world.
Yes. Yeah, man. And then they usually had like the food truck out in the parking lot. Excellent. Oh, their taproom series. The Grapevine taproom series. This is the stuff that you can only get there. The double IPA, the tropical, the red.
Secret note. That was all the test batches for Armadillo and Deep Bellum and whoever else's contract. But those are the two main players, a couple other contract brewers. But then they would just say, it's Grapevine.
Yeah, the very, very early days of New Main Brewing were scratched on a notepad in that taproom.
Oh, look at that. It's a secret.
It's a little nugget.
Little secret for you listeners. Enjoy that.
Shed a tear.
Anyways, we're going to finish this off. So I don't know if anybody's been listening, but Chris's trying to cut me off here. Don't do that.
You are listening right now. If you hear my voice, you're listening.
Yes.
I've gone like Marvel, Disney. Disney is about to buy Fox, which is the best news of my entire life.
Combined.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is, folks. And people are like, why does that matter? Disney can't make a Die Hard movie. No, but they will have the X-Men and Fantastic Four back at home.
Just write off Fantastic Four. Kill them off. Yeah. But Marvel, Avengers, and X-Men.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Best freaking arcade game at the movies that I've ever played in my life. Marvel versus X-Men.
But you see, with Fantastic Four comes Doctor Doom, and comes all great Galactus, Silver Surfer, a great collection of villains that can finally replace some of the... That's where they've gone wrong with the movies, villains.
I think the Skrull are a part of that, too, which would be huge for identity crisis.
You're right, they
are. If you know anything about comics, which I don't, apparently.
They absolutely are. And so I would, if you're bored, Google that, read about it, because it is massive. The only thing that Marvel will no longer fully control is the Hulk, She-Hulk, anything that has to do with the Hulk and Spider-Man, but Sony's letting them borrow Spider-Man, so we're good there. But it's nerd heaven. I'm really excited. And the last thing on nerd heaven is they're going to do a podcast. Marvel is launching a podcast based on Wolverine. So it's going to be like an old, the way it seems, it's going to be like those old radio shows, like The Shadow, which I used to listen
Fireside
to.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be Wolverine.
This time, the Wolverine comes around the corner.
God, I hope it's like.
Biff! Zap! Zap!
He gets his claws out.
Shriek!
You're going to die. I don't know. It's going to be crazy. It's they've casted Wolverine. I don't know the name. I can't remember. It was no name. It wasn't like
they
Hugh Jackman.
They call me Three Claws.
But it's going to be awesome. It's going to be like Serial and all that. I think it'll go viral. Be the first to get on it.
I'm going to enjoy the hell out of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love that about podcasts. Like, not just because we do this. It's a show.
Not a podcast.
Right. But it's on podcast apps, so people associate that. It's not just because we're in the medium. I love that that is coming back. I love that it's gaining popularity and that you can do these radio shows now. You can listen to small shows. I listen to this one that's basically, it's a scary story every two weeks, and I listen to it on my way to work. Yeah. All right, starting Monday morning, got to get in that spirit. Everything's going wrong.
Do you have scary stories on your way to work? Are you scared on your way to work?
I am. I'm spooked. I'm scared every day,
regardless.
That's true. Oh, yeah. You're opening a business.
I'm just white knuckling it. I'm just hoping something settles at one point and I can stop feeling anxious.
Why isn't this bad?
Yeah. And podcasts, one thing too that the people that do listen to podcasts don't even understand is if you like another sports team in a different state, you can download their podcast and listen to people in that state and not listen to 105.3 The Fan.
you can get hear unbiased or the correct bias.
Yes, the correct bias is more the accurate. I don't know why. So I've been listening to podcasts for 10 years, because when Lex and Terry first started podcasting, when they were on 97.1 The Eagle, mm-hmm. I researched, found out what it was so I could start downloading it. And it never occurred to me to search for anything but Lex and Terry. And I've been podcasting for 4 years, and this is the first year that it ever dawned on me to search for New York Giants podcast.
Oh, shit.
I mean, like, what's wrong with me? Now I have like 6 of them, so.
Nice.
It's fun stuff and all that drama. I mean, I know I get a lot of questions from you people about Giants stuff. I don't care.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Listeners are like, hey, Jason, how do you feel about the Giants firing all their coaches? Got you good, didn't we? Cowboys go whoop you. Yeah, yeah, you probably are. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's been a bad year for us. But
at this point, the Cowboys are just sandbag every week, just lose everything, get them a draft pick, just reset.
I'm gonna say, let's see who loses harder this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to lose hard too, anyways. But Drew, thank you so much. It's been a blast. We'll have to do this again. Obviously, definitely. We're blocks away from you. Right?
Yeah, same here. This is great. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a pleasure.
Thank you, awesome. And everybody, go check out On Tap. And if you're anywhere close to Arlington, Fort Worth, Dallas, well, screw it, come down here for a weekend. You're gonna go to. One of the coolest things is to go, if you're going to go to a sports game, Rangers, stop by these places.
Yeah, it's 1 mile away from the Cowboys Stadium. Yeah. You can Uber from there or take the shuttle from our parking lot.
Yep, I've taken a $7 shuttle from On Tap to a Rangers game before.
Sure. I've walked to the AT&T Stadium from there.
There you go. Nice.
Stumbled back.
Hey, I would. With Crowlers,
yeah.
You can just dispose of your...
That's exactly Brody. What I would do. I would for sure head to On Tap, grab 4 or 5 Crowlers, put them in the ice cooler, and tailgate.
Hell yes.
That's what I tell everybody that's worried about craft beer at the stadiums. Is there going to be craft beer there? Buy it. Drink it in the parking lot. Let's go.
I smuggled in a 6-pack there in my go. Belly. Nice.
Next week is going to be very interesting. We have a sort of different flavor of a guest. It is a rugby player, Dirk.
Yes.
It's going to be very interesting.
I am anxious.
From a local semi-pro rugby team. His name is Dirk. He's a huge fan of craft beer. We met him at Division, bonded, because that's what craft beer does.
Yep.
It's like, it's so weird. That's how all of us met and all of us bond over this drink.
It brings awesome. The weirdest walks of lives together, bonded over the same thing.
Yep.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's lovely.
It's like you can take a sip of it. Both of you drink the beer. You lock eyes and you go, yeah, you love you. Hey, bro. And then you just start talking.
Hey, bro, Namath.
It's so crazy. But yeah, thank you guys. don't forget, check everything out. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Casually Lit.
CLShow.us.
That is the best way to do it, which we're going to replace. I haven't told David or Rhodey or Chris, so I'm going to say we're going to replace that really awesome WordPress website pretty soon.
Great.
Out of my own pocket.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we've got to buy a website that legitimately lets me post what I want to.
We got to do that.
You can't. I tried to add plugins, and it's like, pay for this. And I was like, no, I'm not paying for this. So I've got a lot of work to do there. So the CL Show, it's still the best place. You just click play, listen to the show. We're going to be doing some work over there. And don't forget the YouTube, which is pretty much a lot of people's favorite. You can watch us wave at you, and
hi,
you can
YouTube.
See the OnTap logo and Drew's shirt. You're like, oh, that's what he looks like. One of those funny things is when people say they listen to a show and then they see what you look like and they're like, ugh.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like radio face dysmorphia.
You've got a face for radio. Yep. Told that a lot.
But all right. We will see y'all next time.
Cheers.
This is the GOAT wanting to thank you for listening to that episode of Casually Lit. Now I would also like to thank you for listening to us, Controllers and Keyboards. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at /CNK Crew. Also, www.controllersandkeyboards.com.